Well, greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I'm rejoicing to be with you and worshiping together in this way. Always look forward to communion service. Imagine for a moment if you walked in today, or at the beginning of just any given day, you were giving a backpack or a bad pack. Everything bad goes in here today. It probably wouldn't be long until there was a harsh word said to you. At first, the bag is no big deal. The bad pack. And then there's just a disappointment. Something you look forward to just isn't going to happen. Schedule change. Then somebody actually betrayed you. And then a loss that you didn't really process. Life's losses. And little by little, the weight starts to build. And something else happens. You start adding things. Those were out of your control. Other people did them, or others were responsible. And now something starts to happen. You have regret, something you said, maybe in response. Guilt, something you said. Shame that you just wish you could erase. It happened. You said it. And it's just so hard. I just wish I would have never did it or said it. And then most of us have a big one. And you probably know what it is right away. Why? Why did I ever do that? It's heavy. And the strange thing is, it started little and late, and now it's heavy. You know what's scary? I'm getting used to it. I smile. I go to work. I go to church. I sing. It's wearing me out. It's heavy. This is actually shaping. We talk about identity. And then one day, you know, maybe you could imagine one day like this, or maybe you can imagine this is kind of like life. And then, for those of us that have a story that has a cross experience, actually, somebody made this for me one time. I was having a revival meeting somewhere, and I have it in my study, and I It was precious to me this morning. Wish I would remember actually who made it and gave it. But in most of our stories here, we in some way, shape, or form, realize I'm not living like this. I'm sorry, I can't. And we see the cross. By the way, that was pretty heavy. It's heavy. Do you remember a time frame in your life? Maybe a significant moment. Just laid it down. The cross. Where we realized we don't have to carry it anymore. Remember? A lot of it is what others did. And a lot of it, the other part is what we did. And we realize we don't have to carry it because Jesus already carried it. Everything that was in our bad pack, Jesus already, he took it. 700 years before he actually went to the cross and took our burdens, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." His stripes were healed. Recently, I've been made aware Isaiah 53 has two sides of the cross. And if you want a title for the message, I'd probably say something like this: The Two Sides of the Cross. And what I'd like to do is, before we take the bread and the cup as emblems, I would like to pose a question. Are we trying to carry? What Jesus already took to the cross. Some of it is what others did, and some of it is what we did. There are moments in life where everything feels heavy. Busy. Stressful. But heavy. Heavy with disappointment. Heavy with grief. Heavy with things that were done to us. Heavy with things that happened. Totally out of our control. We didn't ask for it. We didn't want it, but it's heavy. It's that kind of a human experience is what Isaiah is speaking about in this text. I think it was close to 700 years before he ever went to the cross. Isaiah penned it. And the first thing I want to point out is the pain. Isaiah speaks here on deeply human terms. This is not distant theology. This is personal. He's a man of suffering or a man of sorrows. Very personal. Verse 3 and 4 points to pain that is inflicted on us from outside ourselves. And I want you to catch that. I want you to see that in the text. I want you to see that he bore our griefs. The things we grieve about, he bore or carried our sorrows. Our sorrows. We didn't want that, but it happened. Rejection, betrayal, misunderstandings, loss, injustice. The Bible says he was despised and rejected. And that word rejected has the idea of being overlooked, dismissed, or cast aside. And all of us probably knows what that feels like. You gave your best and it wasn't enough. You trusted someone and they broke it. You loved and maybe you weren't loved back. And those are the times where we accumulate the first part of the backpack. What I'd like to suggest is the one side of the cross, that sorrow, the grief, the pain. And Isaiah says something so remarkable in that text. He says, he took our pain and suffering to the cross. He bore it. He took it. He didn't just observe it. He didn't just sympathize with us. He carried it. And he didn't just step into, or he didn't just come to deal with sin in an abstract sense. He stepped into the full weight of human brokenness, and every wound you carry, every wound I carry, every tear I cried, every silent ache, he knows it, not from a distance, but from experience, because he was a man of sorrows. And yet Isaiah says, we considered him stricken of God, or the punishment's coming from God. In other words, people looked at it and got it totally wrong. We thought, and probably if you and I would have lived in Jesus' time, we probably would have thought, oh, he deserved it. God's must be grieved at him. But the truth was so opposite. By the way, that's the side of the cross that I think many of us don't understand. I have often focused on the other side of the cross. That's in verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes were healed. So we kind of get that. Now, I don't want to minimize. I think we really should focus on our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities. But I don't think we should overlook the fact that Isaiah said, he took our rejection, he took our sorrows, he took our grief, he took our pain. That's not necessarily our sins. But what is, I believe, a very real part of so many journeys is the side of the cross that maybe we're not responsible for bleeds into our response, our attitude, our words, our sins, transgressions, and iniquities. I just want us to understand both sides of the cross. And I want us this morning to just lay our burdens down and appreciate what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. It does get a bit uncomfortable, but it's incredibly freeing. Many people have hurt you. Many people have hurt me. People hurt us, but in turn we hurt others. And I think it is more important to focus on what we have done. But there are some people that pretend that things didn't happen. And I really don't believe healing will happen until we come in 100% honesty. I believe that is the prerequisite for the cross. It's not performance. It's not a long list of to-do things. It's honesty. Transgressions, iniquities, and sins. It's not just about mistakes. It's about brokenness at the core. And we carry it. But Isaiah says the chastisement or the punishment of our peace was upon him. That's the heart of the gospel. Not that God ignored sin. Not that he excused it. But he placed it on Jesus. He placed it on Jesus. All this, he placed it on Jesus. And at the cross, there's a great exchange. Something incredible happens. Our pain, placed on him. Our sin, placed on him. Our punishment, placed on him. Here's the return. His peace, given to us. Forgiveness, given to us. Healing, given to us. By his wounds, we're healed. That doesn't mean every circumstance is quickly fixed. That doesn't mean that it just goes away. But it really does mean that the deepest wounds are met at the cross of Jesus. And I just want us to, together, just stand or kneel at the foot of the cross. Communion is not a moment for pretending. It's not a moment where we have it all together. If so, we wouldn't need the cross. It's not for those that have examined themselves and found ourselves very good on good works. It's a moment for honesty. And I'll tell you what, this morning, I was in my study early, and I found, this was on my bookshelf, I probably didn't hold this for years. And I was on my knees, and the words of a song just flowed through my heart. Nothing with these hands I bring, nothing, absolutely nothing. But what? Actually, there's another cross that was given to me. I should have brought it along. Somebody made a wooden cross one time. I'm not sure why people are giving me crosses, but one's made out of iron, one's made out of wood, and I held them both. Simply to the cross I cling. That's where I wanted to call us all together this morning as we take communion. To the cross. It's a moment for just the reality of both sides of the cross. The reality. Don't pretend that side didn't happen. Don't pretend that side didn't happen. That's what the cross is for. And yes, there is an initial experience. I'll never forget the moment. I can tell you an exact date where it was the most vivid time of going to the cross for my wife, for Joyce and I. But I'm gonna tell you something this morning, hanging on to this cross and the other cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. It's a lifetime. So as we stand before the cross in brokenness, the pain we've experienced, the sins that we've committed, the failure, the guilt, the regret, bringing it all to the cross. And that really does bring that does not lend towards, oh, so we can just continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, Romans 6 says. When we actually kneel there in that posture, in that attitude, there's a hatred for sin. There's a hatred that develops and rises in our hearts, and that's what's going to yield the what God wants. So as we share in communion together, it's not for those that have it all together. It's for those that are broken, the honest, those that have believed his report, verse 1. I don't have that on there, but if you're in Isaiah 53, verse 1, who hath believed the report? There's some that don't believe it. There's some that don't believe it so much, though, that they keep carrying it. They don't lay it down. They don't believe that Jesus bore it. Verse 1, who hath believed the report? And those of us that are sharing in communion, what we need in the depth of our heart is a solid belief that lends into, I will follow you, Jesus. You're my Lord. Your commandments are not grievous. He paid it all. He went to the cross. He didn't just pay part of it. Believe this. He didn't pay 80%. He paid it full. Just before he died, he said, what? It's finished. Isaiah 53, go on a little bit. God says, my soul is satisfied. We serve a satisfied God. We're not called to try to satisfy him. He's satisfied. The debt's paid. Jesus paid it all. Oh, there's no pain too deep. There's no sin too great. There's no past too messy. The cross of Jesus. So as we come together to the communion, I just want us to have a posture of honesty, for your real story, the raw you. What has been done to me, but ultimately what I've done to others and to God. Lay it before him. Brokenness, not in shame, but in humility. Lord, I need you. Gratitude, because he didn't turn away. He stepped in. And the ultimate love that is behind it all, I think a week or two ago we sang the song, this is such a beautiful, I just really appreciate, I was so touched when we sang this song a week or two ago, that right there I knew there was something brewing for communion coming up. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. Can we say that? Can we say, I am God's treasure? And we're a wretch. Let's say I am God's treasure. I am God's treasure because of Jesus. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. What should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but I know with all my heart his wounds have paid my ransom. Let's all stand together and sing it vibrantly.
The Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to behold the man upon a cross.
death and resurrection. What could I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer.
Amen. You may be seated. So as we share in communion together, I pray that this will help us to remember the pain that he bore, remember the sin that he bore, remember the price that he paid. And as we are at the cross in brokenness, remember, it's because of the cross, your story doesn't end in sorrow. Your story doesn't end in sin. Your story ends in grace. So may our hearts just cry out together, thank you, Jesus, for carrying our sorrows, our griefs, our pain. Thank you, Jesus, for carrying our sins, transgressions, and iniquities. And help us honestly stand at the cross and say, thank you, Jesus. I'll turn the service over to Brother Leon.